raise their family and friends. Happy Independence Day. I tell you, as we are celebrating this July 4th and thinking about the United States of America and all that God has done for us, I want you to please, please stay a special prayer. Stay a special prayer for all those who are serving in the military and in foreign countries, and just the impact that the United States of America has made on the world and how God has used us. And even in these dark days that so many things are changing and sin is rampant, I pray that God's grace and mercy be upon America and more souls be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of Him. So I just want you to be encouraged. I want you to press ahead and know that God has this. He is faithful and He's more than enough. Just want to remind you, thank you so much for connecting with ebcnc.com. We've got so much going on there. We have our Bible studies on Monday at 7, or our special events. We have our Tuesday noonday Bible studies, our Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock, where we're going through the book of Joshua. And we're just encouraging, being edified in God's word, that we can be strong in these days as we celebrate what the Holy Spirit is doing in us. I want to thank you for your giving, whether you're using our Tithely app or the ebcnc.com, or just going to our in-person services at 8:45 and our 10:45 in-person service. All of those things, we thank you for your connections and your prayers and being with us on this online service. I am always amazed when I think about what God has done in this season and this time. Well, I want to get into the word, so I want to lift up America, United States, our lives, as we prepare our hearts for today's message. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for who you are. Lord, thank you for another Independence Day. Lord, the United States, we have messed up so many times and sinned, but we thank you that your grace has been upon us. Lord, I pray in these dark seasons that so many things are changing so quickly, Lord, that you will open eyes. Would you move upon our leaders, our president, Lord, our Congress, our Senate, our judicial system, Republicans and Democrats and independents and all others, Lord. I pray for our country and our decisions, Father. I thank you that you've given us more time, but at the same time, I realize that it's getting closer to your returning, Lord. So please save more souls, deliver, and set free. Father, we just give you praise for this day that you've made. In Jesus' name, amen.
As I look back over my life, I can see how your love is guiding me. Even though I've done wrong, you never left me alone, but you forgave me and you kept on blessing. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It's because of your mercy that we are not consumed. Because thy compassion fails not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen.
As I look back over my life, I can see how your love is guiding me. Even though I've done wrong, you never left me alone, but you forgave me and you kept on blessing. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It's because of your mercy that we are not consumed. Because thy compassion fails not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. I can never repay you, Lord, for what you've done for me. How you lose my shackles and you set me free. How you made a way out of no way. Turn my darkness into day. You've been my joy in the time of sorrow. Oh, for my tomorrow. Peace in the time of storm. Strength when I'm weak and worn. I can never repay you, Lord, for what you've done for me. How you lose my shackles and you set me free. how you made a way out of no way. Turn my darkness into day. You've been my joy in the time of sorrow. Oh, for my tomorrow. Peace in the time of storm. Strength when I'm weak and warm. You've been, Lord, you've been so faithful. Even though sometimes they didn't do what you wanted me to do. You've been, Lord, you've been so faithful. I can never repay you, Lord, for what you've done for me. How you lose my shackles and you set me free. How you made a way out of no way. Turn my darkness into day. You've been my joy in the time of sorrow. Oh, for my tomorrow. Peace in the time of storm. Strength when I'm weak in a war. I can never repay you, Lord, for what you've done for me. How you lose my shackles and you set me free. How you made a way out of no way. Turn my darkness into day. You've been my joy in the time of sorrow. Oh, for my tomorrow. Peace in the time of storm. Strength when I'm weak in a war. You've been, Lord, you've been so faithful. Even though sometimes I didn't do what you wanted me to do. You've been, Lord, you've been so faithful. Even though sometimes I didn't say what you wanted me to say.
Aren't you happy to be saved and know who Jesus is? I am. Just to know that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of the believer. Just amazing. As we have been going through this journey and focusing on certain scriptures like Genesis chapter 1 and 2 and seeing the transformation power of the Spirit, I pray that you have been encouraged and you've been more sensitive to God's movement. In in-person service, I asked the saints there and I said, have you seen more issues with your flesh as we've been studying the Holy Spirit? And I ask you the same thing. And most of them say yes, because when we become more in tune with the Spirit, we recognize our flesh and how it wants to get out of control. And it can be tough at times, but that's how we know that we're saved, because God is with us and he orders our steps, and we can hear that a still small voice via the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to deal with more today. I want you to really focus in, lean in, and whatever situation you might be up against in your life, I want you to be encouraged, especially if you're saved. If you are saved, man, we have the victory. If you're not saved, we're going to talk about that in the prayer. Man, confess Jesus today and give your life to him. Let's focus in on our scripture for today, 1 Corinthians 2:9. 1 Corinthians 2:9. We have been working our way through this chapter, and we'll finish up this chapter as we are really seeing the minute details of what the Holy Spirit does inside of us. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I want to speak from a title today, So Much More. Yes, write that down, So Much More. Let's pray. Father, wow. You are so wonderful, and if I had 10,000 tongues, I just could not give you enough thanks. I couldn't give you enough praise. But Lord, we just celebrate who you are. Again, thank you for using our country in this Independence Day, but most importantly, thank you for the independence that you've given us via salvation through your son, Jesus. Lord, I pray that maybe there's someone that's listening or looking in today that doesn't know you. Would you help them today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised him from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift of God. Help them to grasp that gift, to hold on to it. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Now, Father, as we approach your word, I ask you to forgive me of my sins, cleanse me of all unrighteousness, and Holy Spirit, we welcome you. I sense your presence, and I thank you for your presence. Would you teach us? Would you guide us? Would you lead us into all truth? Make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a child can be transformed to be like you. Lord, your saints are going through. Some of them have some major decisions to make this week, Lord. Some are having struggles, Lord, within their lives. Some are challenged with their flesh physically, Father God. Some have disease that's entered into their body. But I thank you, Holy Spirit. You know all of these things, and you're more than enough in every situation. Lord, we just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've been progressing on through this chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, I'm telling you, it's been a blessing when I just think about how much the God of the universe has done for us as the believer, that he's given his life for us. And then he allows his Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us to do that which we could not do within ourselves. If you remember from last Sunday, we were in 1 Corinthians 2:4, our focus scripture, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. And we talked about that Spirit-led power as Paul the Apostle is writing these things down, as the Holy Spirit is allowing him to really be transparent, that Paul realized it was not about his strength, it was not about his education, but it was all about God's presence in his life. Points in review, we talked about no smoke and mirrors. Jesus Christ opens the door to the power of the Spirit. When we are weak, then we are strong, the real deal, and have faith in God. Time frame again, AD 56, and Paul the Apostle writing to this church, which has grown to a mega church of a type, gifts of the Spirit are flowing, but they're being challenged as the Spirit is rising up strong to get the gospel out, more souls being saved. There are fleshly issues that are rising too. And Paul himself is even under attack. And many don't want to respect the authority that God has put in his life. But here we really get a view of the Spirit and how he works in men and women. There will be some praise in the house just to think of that transformative power. Let's jump into this section, 1 Corinthians 2:6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. Here's our first point, Holy Spirit wisdom. Holy Spirit wisdom. No matter how smart our leaders may seem to be, no matter how much smart knowledge that we have, technology, all of these expansive things, it does not compare to the power and wisdom of God. As we look at that scripture closely, it says, however, we speak of wisdom amongst those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. In our society, as we think about that scripture, so often people are celebrated, and thank God the scriptures say give honor to whom honor is. We understand that for their educational status, you know, master's degrees and doctorate degrees, and we've got these high intellectual people. I was listening to an article on the news the other day, and it talked about this guy who is first and foremost in racial reconciliation, and he got an invite, and they paid him $25,000 just to speak because he had written a book, and his intellectual proudness, all of these things. So we esteem this type of knowledge. But the scripture says that it's not about the leaders. It's not about that knowledge. And we're going to deal with that. It's about the Holy Spirit wisdom. And to think that God says so much more, to think that God is saying that that Holy Spirit wisdom that we're talking about dwells inside of the believer. Let me show you 1 Corinthians 2:7-8. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Here's our second point, God's supernatural plan. God's supernatural plan. When I think about what God has done, and even where we are now, July 4th, we're celebrating that. But to think that God had a profound plan before the foundation of the earth. Yes, yes. And not just for the United States of America, but for every individual, every person. He knew what choices they would make. He knew where they would be. He knew where you would be at. And for the believer, he says, I've got a plan of redemption that's going to work out, even though man is going to fail. And I know this is theologically challenging when we think about this whole process of God that's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that controls everything, that has a supernatural plan, and oftentimes that can shake us to the core. But I want you to know God is doing something wonderful. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? There was a cryptic message that was left prophetically there in Genesis 3:14-15. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Yes, the promise of God, even from Genesis, the beginning, and the Holy Spirit is still working, even in the fallen state of man. That should be some hallelujahs as we go through our life and we make mistakes. I am so glad to celebrate salvation, that we are saved and we've been delivered, and God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Henson, he goes on to explain this further, these scriptures. He said, the rulers of this age may refer to demonic spirit beings in the heavenlies or to their human agents on earth. They didn't understand the hidden wisdom of God, Christ on the cross, or realize that their murder or of the Holy Son of God would result in their own destruction. It's amazing, because you think if the devil had known some things, he wouldn't. And the scriptures talked about that. He would have just left the cross alone. If he had known that we would be preaching the gospel and the cross, Jesus crucified, Jesus buried and resurrected, would be the central figure of salvation, I'm telling you, he would have just left it alone. And some of you need to shout right now, if the enemy only knew what you would become, if he only knew how God would come into your life and what he's doing right now, he would have killed you if God would have allowed him years ago. But aren't you glad that God's plan supersedes anything that the devil can do? The scriptures talk about, you know, what the enemy means for our harm, God always turns it to our good. So much more. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. I love this. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Anybody love him? 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Here's another point. Revelation by the Spirit. Revelation by the Spirit. Now, the Spirit is so integral within our lives. And sadly, as we've been teaching, sometimes the Holy Spirit has been reduced to just a Sunday thing, or, you know, a shouting thing, or some kind of a thing that slays you in a sense. And yes, God can make us shout. And yes, we can fall down under the power of God. But God has given us the Holy Spirit to walk in him on a daily basis, to be connected with him. Look at this closely. 1 Corinthians 2:9, so much more. But as it is written, eye has not seen, our eyes have not even comprehended. I've been able to be at some of the most wonderful places in the world and seen some just astronomical things, but our eyes have not seen, nor ear have heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. I just want to know, are there any folks out there that love him today? You might put in the chat, love him, simply because he's done so much. And God says, because you love me, because you you've given yourself to me. I've got something gracious for you in our lives. Isn't that what we want to do for our loved ones, those that we care about? We want to bless them when God has blessed us. And God says, I love you so much, I'm going to give you something. And I'm already in the process of pouring that on that you don't even understand. Closely looking at that 1 Corinthians 2:10, he says, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. So we don't understand it in our fleshly eyes and our mindsets and our hearts, but as we connect with the Holy Spirit, there's revelation that's coming, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, this is important. Have you ever been maybe in prayer or in Bible reading, and you just felt a fluttering on the inside? It seemed like there was a fireworks that went off on the inside, but yet your mind couldn't really comprehend what was going on, but you just felt so good on the inside that God was connected. It happens to me often. Maybe I'm teaching or proclaiming God's word, and I just can't process it all, but I know the Holy Spirit is up to something, because the Holy Spirit, he searches the deep things of God, and many times we can't grasp and put our arms around it, but we know God is up to something. We know that there's a treasure. We talked about that on the inside of us. This is why the Holy Spirit was so important to the coming of the church. Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is important. This was the connection. This was the uniting. This was receiving of the gift of God from above. He comes down as cloven tongues of fire, and they were in that upper room. And when they got on one accord, hallelujah, when they got on one accord, the Holy Spirit, now he just poured himself upon them. And that's what God wants for us, to be aware of his Spirit, to give us so much more as we realize that we can connect with God, the all-powerful one. Austin Miles in 1912, he wrote this hymn. He said, I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing so much more. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That is our experience, and God wants more of that, that as we walk through the day, as we go through our valleys, as we climb our mountains, as we go through our struggles, we know that God is there with us via his Holy Spirit, and we can celebrate. We can have joy in the midst of sadness. We can have healing in the midst of disease, and we can lift up our hands when nobody else is lifting up their hands, because we understand our God is worthy of all praise, because he's given us so much more. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Here's another point. The Spirit reveals the things of God. The Spirit reveals the things of God. The Holy Spirit is the link to the things of God. He's the link. He is the connection. He helps us to understand what's going on, at least within our spirit. And sometimes he'll open it up and blossom it that our mind can grasp. But there's so much that we don't understand. I've given this example, but my German Shepherd, there's times that I want to communicate with him better. And we've got commands. We can tell him to do certain things. He knows how to lay down. The other day I told him to lay down. He laid down. But there's sometimes I want to have a deeper conversation, but the issue is he has a different spirit than I. Yes, I can give commands. He can understand when I'm giving commands and sometimes sense things that are going on. But to get deep with that, I would actually have to have a dog spirit to be able to speak his language and to understand him on that level. And so what God is saying, there is no way you can connect with me because I'm so high and you are
conceived in iniquity and have so many struggles. He said, but what I'm going to do through my son Jesus coming, if you accept him, I'm going to allow him to be that link. I'm going to allow him to be that conduit that the Holy Spirit can move through, and he can carry the messages from me to you. There ought to be some hallelujahs. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Without the Holy Spirit, there would be a disconnect. We cannot hear God. And some of you need to say, man, you remember the life before you were saved and all the darkness that you were in and the things that you grasped and you enjoyed. But when Jesus came into our lives and the Holy Spirit was introduced, now that electrical cord was connected in and the power came into our lives and we became aware and the blossoming came. We didn't understand it all, but we knew that there was a God that was more than enough and he had so much more for us. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:12 and 13. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Here's the point. Please get this one. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Yes, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. I taught extensively on this in John, the book of John. I'm going to give you a scripture on that momentarily, but he is our teacher. Yes, God allows gifts to come into the body, those to go through the scripture, such as I'm going through, to open up insights, but ultimately, please understand, it's the Holy Spirit that teaches it and breaks it down. That's what's happening. Even today, as I'm going through these scriptures, some of you are in different situations and things are in your life, and so the Holy Spirit is teaching you according to the level that you are, or giving you what you need for what is going to come within your life. I am so glad the Holy Spirit is our teacher, because he knows what we need. He knows what we have to focus in on. I've been going through a Bible memorization for some time, and my wife, she's gone through a majority of 1 Peter, I believe it is, and memorized that. And what you have to understand, we all learn at different paces. We all learn a different thing. Some things may trigger my wife that don't trigger me when I'm in memorization, but the Holy Spirit knows all of those things, and he's able to teach us where we need to be taught at. He's able to break down things when we don't understand. Jesus said in John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So much more. Look at closely this 1 Corinthians 2:12. That first part says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. This is key. Remember, I gave that example that my dog has a different spirit than we have. But God has said, you don't have the spirit of the world anymore because you've been saved. You've been delivered. I've allowed my Holy Spirit to come. Look at that. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. Doesn't that make you excited? Doesn't that bless you? Because I'm telling you, we all up against something. We've all gone through times of depression. We've all gone through struggles. Many of us are going through it right now. But doesn't it bless you to know that we have the Spirit of the living God on the inside, that even in our worst days, when we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, even just saying that, it's not just a cheerleading term or a proclamation, but it triggers something in the side of the believer when we think about the goodness of Jesus and all that. Ought to be some hallelujahs in the chat and living room, sitting around, wherever you're at. You say, hallelujah, when I think about what God has already done for me, so much more. John 17, 15, and 16 brings it out. Jesus said, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Look at that 16th verse. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. That's what's happening on the inside of us. Yes, the Holy Spirit that's been given to us from God, he is actually transforming us. We're going to deal with that a little later. He's transforming us more and more to be like Jesus. Yes, that image of Christ is being betrayed. It's being glorified to lift up God in our lives on a daily basis, every second, every minute. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, the powerful one, is on the inside, and He's tweaking things and He's molding things. He's the potter of the Old Testament, and sometimes it doesn't feel good, but it's so good to know that the Holy Spirit's on the inside so much more. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:14, 15, and 16. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. 16th verse 4, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. That's a shouting point right there. To think that God has allowed His Spirit to be in us and given us the mind of Christ. But what does that mean? Here's a point. I want you to really focus in on this point. The Holy Spirit, as we talked about, He gives us the mind of Christ. Yeah, touch yourself. Touch your head and say, the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ. Now, this is challenging. This is challenging because when we think about our physical minds, you know, there's some days we're on it, man. We're flowing. But there are other days we can be in a fog. It seems like a cloud is around us and we're just kind of making it from day to day. But to think that spiritually that God has given us the mind of Christ. So the question is, how do we tap into this? How do we tap into this power that God has given us? We know that it hinges on faith, that we walk by faith and not by sight. This 1 Corinthians 2:14, looking at that first part, it says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. Sadly, so often we depend on that natural man, the fleshly man. Even though we're saved and been delivered, so many times our first thought is to go and lean to our own wisdom and our thoughts. But as I'm getting older, I'm learning to pray more and say, God, I need you in this. I need you. How many times do we pray over just minute things that we just used to make decisions? But I'm telling you, what if we put God first in everything? What if praying without ceasing really became a thought pattern of our lives, and we prayed when we were in our cars, and we prayed when we got out of our cars? We prayed on the things or hobbies that we're working on because we wanted God to be first, and we wanted the Holy Spirit to move in us. And so now we could actually receive, and maybe God could use some of those things for souls to be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth. Look at that second part. It says, because they are spiritually discerned. How many things have we missed out on because we have not lent ourselves to the movement of the Spirit? Yes, just walking through our days, 24 hours, 7 days a week, that God had so much more for us. But because we lean to our own understanding and our own fleshly ways and the natural man, we missed out on the spiritual things. I'm telling you, when you get in the presence of God, when you walk out in the nature, nature looks differently. I'm telling you, you can start hearing the birds sing and you start recognizing how God is in charge and how He's powerful. If you only knew some of you were in your car, if you only knew what the devil was up to and he meant for your harm, the head-on accident, collision that he had planned for you, but God sent his ministering angels to move some stuff out of the way. I'm telling you, when you got to your destination, oh, you would lift up your hands and jump out of the car and say, Lord, I thank you so much, but there's so much spiritual things that are going on that has not been revealed to us. But when we seek the Lord, we begin to give God praise because we understand there's so much more that's going on. Look at that. 1 Corinthians 2:16, a little closer, that last part. It said, but we have the mind of Christ. What does this mean? How do we tap into this authority of God? The Spirit reveals something in Romans chapter 12, one of my favorite scriptures. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed. Are you with me? To this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God is saying, I want you to tap into the leadership of the Holy Spirit and to have so much more by getting into my word, by praying more. And now as you're in my word and you're praying, your mind is being transformed. Yes, your synapses are connecting to the right thing, and they're becoming Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized. And now some things that you thought one way when God began to move, you began to think in a different way. There ought to be some soul and say, you know what? The things I used to think about, I don't think anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go anymore because the Holy Spirit is changed. Have you ever thought, I'm talking to some believers, some mature believers, what God has done in our lives, how far He's brought us, what He's changed us on the inside. I'm talking about we need to celebrate God for His Holy Spirit. Look at Romans 13:11, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. So much more to think that God has so much more for us. And please, saints, understand that the days are getting darker. I believe that Jesus is getting closer and closer to cracking that cloud, that sky, and coming back on a cloud that every eye can see Him. But if He tarries, please understand, all of us are getting closer and closer to be to God's presence. Romans 13:12-13, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us, listen to this, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So much more, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. God said there needs to be a change. As you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and you know that there's so much more, I want to move in you. And look at Romans 13:14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Yes, God is saying, because I've connected with you via my Holy Spirit, now I want you to walk in holiness. Now I want you to have revelation and knowledge of the truth. And it's bigger than you. It's so much more, because the Holy Spirit is the link to God and His plans and His thoughts and His desires for our life. That's why the sacrifice of Jesus is so important, because nails were in His hands and nails in His feet. He carried our griefs and bore our pains, died on that cross of Calvary. They put Him in a cold tomb, but on the third day, there ought to be some shouts. I've been thinking about that third day when He got up with all power, and sometimes we can kind of mix things up, that the stone, that Jesus actually pushed back the stone, but the scriptures are specific. There was an angel that rolled back the stone. Jesus didn't need to push back the stone, because He had already came out with all power and all glory. And there's some stones in your life, I'm telling you, God can work around them. He can work through them. He can transform them. And we need to know that there is so much more. Some of your weaknesses that you have been down about, God has said, that's the strongest point that I put on the inside of you. And some of you have been too high-hearted in yourself, and you've been heady. God has said, I've allowed things to come into your life to bring humility. So now you can realize what my Son did on that third day with all power and all glory. And you can sum it up with 1 Corinthians 2:9 and understand, but it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But there is so much more. Have you thought about heaven? Have you thought about no more tears, no more pains, no more heartache, streets that are paved with gold? Every day is Sunday, being with Christ and lifting Him up. There's so much more. Hallelujah. When I think about, God has allowed His Spirit to connect with us. And in essence, Paul the Apostle talked about getting caught up into the third heavens. In essence, what the Spirit does so often, it just gives us a glimpse of glory. It gives us a glimpse of what God has prepared for us. Have you thought about eternity being in the presence of God? Man, I pray that you be encouraged when you think about all that God is doing via the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get into even some more teachings on the leadership and the connection of the Holy Spirit that we so often take for granted. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for not leaning wholeheartedly to your thoughts and ways via your Holy Spirit. If you don't know Christ, please, please, I beg you, oh, give Him a try. Give Him more than a try. Give Him your heart. Go 100% in. And I'm telling you, He will never fail you. How do I know? I know what He's done for me. He'll save you. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead. You will be saved. What a wonderful God He is for the believers today. Oh, that we embrace. There's so much more. as you're going through your days. And yes, there's some good days, but there's some bad days. But even in our good days or our bad days, there's so much more via God's Spirit. I encourage you to lean into Him. Lean into Him strongly today and say, God, more of you and less of me. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the richness. There's so much in there, God. And I pray, Lord, as even as we are connected together virtually and we're thinking about your goodness, that you are, Lord, you are our teacher via your Holy Spirit, that you'll give us exactly what we need for the day, Father, that we be encouraged, that there be fireworks on the inside, that not just be for July 4th and Independence Day of United States of America, but there be Independence Day within our heart because we're saved and we've been delivered and we're set free, and we understand, Lord, that you're revealing the spiritual things. Oh, Lord, thank you for revelation. Thank you for the plans that you have for us. We just give you praise. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Guilty with nothing to say, and they were coming to take me away, when a voice from heaven was heard that said, let him go and take me instead. And I should have been crucified. Oh, I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. The crown of thorns, the spear in his side, and all the pain, it should have been mine. Those rusty nails were meant for me. Oh, Christ took him, he let me go free. And I should have been crucified. Oh, I should have suffered and I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place. Oh, Jesus, God's Son. Yes, Jesus, God's Son. Oh, Jesus, God's Son, took my place.
Hello, Ebenezer family and friends. It is so good to just be, I'm back in another communion time. I've been preaching on the Holy Spirit and just His leadership and He being predominant within our lives. And this is one of those parts that He gets to lead as we think about Jesus Christ and what He's done for us and that resurrection power or resurrective power of Him in our lives and His movement. I would say this is the most important
times within our spiritual journey as we think about Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary for us. So before we get started, I just want you to prepare your hearts. I want you to think about if there's any unforgiveness, any issues with anyone. This is the time that you ask forgiveness from the Lord, or even take time to go and connect with them and come back. One great thing about these virtual services, you can always pause and you can come back and not miss anything. So please take that time before you take communion. Also, another special time is to be with family and friends. Maybe you're single and maybe you'll think about FaceTiming someone saying, hey, can you do a communion with me? Or if you can't FaceTime, just call someone and you can talk through it. You don't even have to see each other. It's just that form of connection. So I'm going to ask Tabitha if she would open us up in prayer, and also go ahead and pray for the bread and the juice. Amen. Sarah is going to give us the scripture selection as Paul the Apostle so eloquently was able to just to paint a picture of what communion is all about and all the ins and outs of it. I tell you, when we think about that, we can actually come into God's presence and the Holy Spirit can be on the inside of us, that we can share in the bread and the juice, which represents his blood and his body. Sarah.
It's 1 Corinthians 11:23-32. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment.
Amen. So within this, so important that we make sure that we have given forgiveness, and also we've gotten forgiveness in a sense, if you have offended somebody. But as we go into this, I want us to think about just that Last Supper when Jesus goes into the upper room with his disciples and they're not aware of the significance, the weightiness of the moment. But Jesus, he gets some bread and he breaks it. A loaf would be passed around at that time. And he says, this represents my body. So as I pass it around, I want you to think about Christ's body that was broken, betrayed by Judas Iscariot with a kiss and beaten by the Roman guards, even having to carry their own crossbar. And then his body broken with the nails going into his flesh. He did all of that for us. So as for often as we eat his bread, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together. Now we think about the blood. Last Sunday, I talked about just how horrific that is to think about Christ in that respect. But that's the gospel, the good news, because him being crucified in that manner, he was able to carry our sins and bear our griefs. And that's why we can sing the songs, oh, the blood of Jesus. Can you imagine Christ as he has the goblet? And at that time, it would be filled with wine. And he looks at it and he looks at the disciples. And this is a very significant time because they would pass around the goblet and they would drink. But he lifts it up and says, this is my blood. Wow, that's heavy. That takes a total different picture from the festivities to think about this represents the blood of Jesus. So as often as we drink, let us do it in remembrance of him. After they had drunk the wine and just realized, wow, this is serious. Christ is getting ready to do something that we didn't think he was going to do. But if they would have just read the Torah, and when this had been prophesied, looked at the prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, they had talked about these days to come, and the Christ was there in front of them. After they left that upper room, they went out and It says that they sung a hymn. So I'm going to ask someone in the family to lead us in a song as we celebrate all that God has done for us.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All of my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
So let's get together. On one accord. So let's get together.
Raise our hands and praise the Lord. All of our sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. All of our sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
Isn't that good news to know we have been redeemed? Well, until we meet again, you be blessed.